again to the Legacy House Church. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been teaching on godly vision. And last week we defined what godly vision is all about. Today I'd like to narrow it down and look at how do we receive a godly vision for our personal lives and relationship with God. Last week we learned that in order for us to move forward with godly vision in general, that we need to be in prayer, seeking the face of God, that we need to have passion and follow the direction that God has put in our hearts, and we need to engage people in the vision that God has called us. But we're going to begin by looking again at the definition of what is godly vision. And I noticed that some of you wrote this down last week. I'd encourage you again to take notes as I teach today. This sermon will be uploaded on our Facebook page at Legacy House Church. And we also include all of the passages of scripture that I'll be using on there as well. So you can also go back and study it in a little bit more depth during the week. But what is godly vision? And godly vision is having a divine revelation of God's intended purpose for your relationship with God, your life, family, and ministry. Now, anybody can have a vision or a set of goals for themselves and be successful in achieving what they set out to do. But we are not of this world. We are of a spiritual kingdom, and we are guided by our relationship with our Heavenly Father and led by the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be led by God. We want to be used by God. We want to worship Him and to serve Him and to bring Him glory. And in order to fulfill that potential in us, we need to have a godly vision for that. And so in this particular definition of what it means to have godly vision, it says a divine revelation. Now, what exactly is that? What is divine revelation? How can we be certain that we are receiving a divinely inspired word from the Lord or vision as to what we are to do with our lives and our ministry? Well, the basic idea of revelation, as in a divine revelation, means that to make known something that is hidden. That's what a revelation is, to make known something that is hidden. Now, God is in the business of making known to you aspects of His intended purpose for your relationship with God, your life, family, and ministry. So when it comes to revelation or something hidden being revealed to you, when it comes to a vision for your life, somewhat being murky or hard to distinguish or hidden, I'd like to clarify right now that, first of all, God is not doing the hiding. God is not doing the making it difficult for you to understand. God is not doing that, you know, putting earmuffs on so that you can't hear Him. That's not what God does. Actually, the one who's doing the God is the one doing the revealing. So he's interested in the revealing part of, but it's the enemy, Satan. He's the one who's interested in the hiding part. So we see that the enemy likes to make that hard for us, but at times it's also our own ignorance. You know, Paul said, in my own ignorance, I don't see things as clearly as I should. I'm like looking through dark sunglasses. But as I learn more about God and who He is, and as I grow in my faith, then I'm beginning to see clearer and clearer. And one day, all of that will be removed, and I'll be able to see clearly. Because God is in the business of revealing. So God is speaking, God is revealing, the Holy Spirit is leading. We have a responsibility then to listen to His word and to work out His intended purpose for our relationship with Him, your life, family, and ministry. And so what I'd like to do in teaching as we continue even for the next few weeks is to help remove some of the ignorance so that we can begin to see more clearly and we can get a divine revelation or a God-inspired revelation. So today we want to begin by looking at getting a godly vision for us as individuals, personal vision as far as even our relationship with God. And so the first part today, we want to look at personal godly vision. And then second part, if I can speed through today, is to talk about then how do we actually align ourselves and bring clarity to what can sometimes be a clouded environment as far as what is God's plan and purpose for my life. So let's start by looking at what is personal godly vision. And I'd like to suggest that it is this. It is seeing yourself the way that God sees you and feeling about yourself the way God feels about you. And if we can see ourselves as God sees us and feel about ourselves the way God feels for us and loves us, then our personal vision and statement will be, all I want to be is who God wants me to be, who He sees me to be, and to become what, and to engage myself in with Him in a way that I can receive what He feels about me. So you see that God sees your life from beginning to end, and God has a will and a purpose for you in that personal journey. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says this, as far as God seeing your life and having a personal vision, God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." God has plans for you, and He's about revealing it to you. And so He actually says, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I've got plans to give you a hope and a future. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship," that He's actively engaged in our life, molding us and shaping us, "created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God has actually prepared in advance for us to do." So when it comes to, well, how do I get a personal vision? Well, get a divine revelation for who God sees that you are and feels about you and for His plans for your future and for your life. And I know that can be initially intimidating, but I don't want you to get intimidated by this and by the challenge ahead that He's actually prepared works in advance for you to do. Remember that God's not trying to hide this. God's trying to reveal this. God's wanting to partner with you to get this done. And we have to see that God is with you. God is partnering with you. There might be various seasons of challenges that you're facing, but God has plans to prosper you, a hope, a future, good works, and He's actually planned those in advance for you to do. God is ready to go, and all we need to get in line with God and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Speak to me. I'm ready to do it." John chapter 15 verse 5 says this. He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." So as we get that divine revelation, it's about drawing alongside the heart of God, partnering with God, with Jesus, being engaged with Jesus, and allowing Him to use us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, 4 says, the one who calls you is faithful to do it. Amen? So I'd just like to begin by encouraging you that when you align our hearts to God, and that's going to be, hopefully we'll have time to look more clearly into that. What does it mean to align ourselves to the heart of God? But when we do that, He works in and through us to accomplish His will for our lives. And it's by His power and His strength alone that we can fulfill His plans and purposes for us. Amen. But I began by saying that as far as personal vision is concerned, is that we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And why is that important? Well, when it comes to vision, we are often shackled and held down and hindered by our own view of ourselves. By our past, by our failures, by our unbelief, by our inability to forgive others, by our fears, by our worries, our anxieties. And as I was looking at the topic and studying to teach on this idea of personal vision, I read a number of quotes. As far as, well, what, how is our personal view of ourselves a freeing or limiting factor when it comes to personal vision? And I'd like to read some of those quotes for you. The first one by Mary Howitt. She says, "For visions come not to polluted eyes." And that's why we need to see what God sees, because our eyes are often hindered or polluted. Someone said, quote by George Eliot, "Will not a tiny speck very close to our vision blot out all the glory of the world and leave only a margin by which we see the blot? And I know no speck so troublesome as self." Sometimes we are blinded, again, by our own perspective and vision of ourself. Another quote here by, anybody, feel free if you would like to pronounce, I'll just call him VSN, Nepal. "Most people are not really free. They are confined by the niche in the world that they carve out for themselves. They limit themselves to fewer possibilities by the narrowness of their vision." Lily Langtry said, "Anyone who limits her vision to memories of yesterday is already dead." So today I'd like to encourage you, let's start off with a clean slate. Let's start off with a new beginning. Let's purposefully take off the sunglasses that are darkening our personal vision. And we mentioned what some of those things are that darken that vision. And let's allow God to give us clearer glasses by which we can see His intended purpose for our lives. Well, we've looked at what others have to say about vision and about the importance of vision, but what does the Bible have to say? What does God's Word have to say? Because the reality is we should pay more attention. Yes, these words are very wise by some of these authors, but what does the Bible have to say? And when you look at the Bible and you look at personal vision, again, a certain pattern emerges. And when you, we've already talked about some of these individuals, and I'll just refresh your memory a little bit. Over the last couple of months, we've talked about some of these people. But when it comes to personal vision, and then actually living out their individual intended purposes in life, nearly all of the actors portrayed, or the examples portrayed in the Bible, you see that nearly every person had to remove the blinders of their ignorance and their self-doubt and their fears and their anxieties, that people had to overcome their personal limitations, fears, and doubts. Nearly every person that God revealed his purpose to them said, "These are the plans I have for you. These are the purposes. This is what I want to do." Their initial reaction was, "Who, me? Are you kidding, right? Are you serious? Do you not know who I am? Do you not know what I've been through? Do you not know what I've done? How can you see me like that? Surely that's too grand a vision for me." And God revealed his plans and his vision to Sarah and Abraham, that, hey, guess what? In your old age, I'm going to bless you with a son. Huh. Yeah, right. Right? That's what Sarah, yeah, right. She was even laughing behind the tent, God's gone a little bit cuckoo. If he thinks that that's going to happen at this time of my life. And one of the characters we talked about 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were looking at Moses. And his example. I'd like to, again, for some of you weren't here, you didn't hear about Moses, let's look at his reaction to God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites," and as my pastor in Zimbabwe when I was growing up used to say, "the electric lights. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." There was a divine revelation of God's intended plans and purpose for Moses. What was his reaction? But Moses said to God, "But who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and Israel and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you." We talked about that not only does God reveal his plans, but then he says, "I'm going to help you to do it. I'm going to be with you to do it. I'm going to work with you to do it. If I've called you to be like this, to change your character, to change your heart, to be able to grow and to mature, and he's going to do it. He wants to do it. He's revealed it to you, and he wants to do it." And he said, "I'll be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Well, again, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." Moses said, "Who am I?" What did God say? "I am who I am." Moses answered, "Well, what if they still don't believe me or listen to me? And they say, 'Well, the Lord did not appear to you.'" Making excuses. God said, and then Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, but I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord," finally in chapter 4, verse 13, "pardon your servant, Lord, please send somebody else to do it. I'm not up to it." And so, again, this is just one illustration of nearly every person who had to overcome their personal fears, personal concerns, personal limitations, personal shackles, personal doubt, personal unbelief, and God was able to say, "Hey, let's do this together. I'm with you. You're going to get through this. You're going to overcome. You're going to make it through. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to help you. And so much so that we see that God saw of Moses what he was going to do. I have plans to prosper you, plans that I've worked out in advance. And Moses had to come alongside and eventually say, okay, Lord, I'm going to see myself the way that you see me. And I'm going to feel about myself the way that you feel about me. And if you believe in me and you see it in me and you have faith in me to be able to do this, okay, I'm going to start this journey. I'm going to start taking the steps towards that. And why I'm even talking about this and inspired to teach you on this, I had a young man I was painting on Friday, and he called me, and he wanted to tell me that for the last 8 years, he has been in full-time ministry in Pennsylvania and working faithfully in a church and ministry there. And he wanted to call me. It was out of the clear blue. He called me, found my number through our website at legacyhousechurch.com, and he got my contact number, and he called me and said, I was so excited to see that you and Retta are engaged here at Legacy House Church and what God is doing in your lives. I'm praying for you. But at the same time, I wanted to call you and thank you, because when I was 18 years old, you took me out for dinner, and this is a young African man. His name is Rob Chifokoyo, and he said, you saw in me something that nobody else saw. You saw God's calling and hand upon my life, and you expressed that faith in what God was calling me to do and what I could become and what I was to do for him. And he just wanted to call me and thank me that at a time in his life when nobody else could see that potential, that I saw that potential in him, and I encouraged him. And I'm so glad that, again, God has worked in his life to bring about what God saw in his life. And I'm so excited for Rob. I'm officially inviting you to come and speak at Legacy House Church for yourself personally and reconnect with Red and I. And so we can anticipate in the next few months, hopefully, a visit from Pastor Rob Chifokoyo. Maybe he can share a little bit more details about that. But as the author of Hebrews, again, was reflecting on Moses, said that Moses became a man of faith, that God used him. He became a man, it says actually in Hebrews chapter 11, that he became a man of vision who looked forward to his reward. And Moses persevered because he had a divine revelation of God and what was possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen? All things are possible. And so before we can be used by God and before we can actually participate with God in stepping forward in this vision, we need to see ourselves the way that he does and have a change of perspective. And we need to reach that place where we can say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? When it comes to personal vision, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God sees you as this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You know, as this scripture and so many more, when we talk about getting a divine revelation of God's intended purposes for us, the Word of God itself is illuminating to us what that revelation should look like. And the scripture is encouraging us that you and I may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So as we develop our personal vision, do you see who you are in Christ? Do you see who you have been created to be? Do you see yourself as he sees you? Do you see your growth? Do you see success? Do you see yourself living out your life for his plans and purposes and for his glory? We recall again the quote from last week by David Thoreau. He said, "I would give all the wealth of the world and all of the deeds of all of the heroes for one true vision." As we reflect back on developing our personal vision, a reminder when we talked about the love that God has for each one of you, that if the story of the prodigal son represents the love of the Father, and God's love was equally extended to the prodigal son as it was equally extended to his son that stayed at home, that if that father was to have a third son, and that third son was Jesus, would he love Jesus any more than the prodigal son or the good son? No. That Jesus' love would be equally distributed. That we should have that revelation that God's love for Jesus as his own son is the same and equal love that he has for you and for me. That's part of divine revelation, that as we have that divine revelation of God's love for us, then we can pursue and walk and grow in the love that God has for us. In order for us to have godly vision, we need to align ourselves. And let's just, if I can, just take 5 minutes. How do we align our hearts, align ourselves to the heart of God? What does it mean to align? Do we look in the dictionary? The dictionary definition of alignment says it requires common understanding of purposes and goals of the organization and consistency between every objective and plan right down to the incentive offers. Now, that's what the business dictionary says of alignment, but how can we rewrite that in kingdom language? So kingdom language would say this, or spiritual language, requires common understanding and purposes and goals of our Lord Jesus Christ and consistency between every objective and plan right down to the day we are received in heaven. So in order to have godly vision, we need to have that alignment with the purposes and the goals of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then consistency between every objective and plan right down to the day we're received in heaven. That's part of our vision here at Legacy House Church, that you would serve Jesus with vision and consistency for the rest of your life. And that one day your children and your grandchildren can say of you, look at the legacy of how they were able to fulfill God's intended purposes for their lives until the day they were received in heaven. So are we aligning ourselves? Are we in a position for God to give us vision and use us? Or are there personal issues and hindrances that are blocking us from being used by God? And there's a particular passage in quick reference that I'd like to read that gives us a strategy for realignment. How can we make sure we're realigned to the heart of God so that we can receive godly vision? And this is how we do it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, says this, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And so this verse actually gives us four keys for removing the blocks or clarifying our sunglasses so that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and receive his vision for our lives. Number one, it says this, have a sincere heart. There can be no hypocrisy, no double-mindedness, no half-hearted commitment, only total, pure, childlike dedication to the desires and purposes of all of the, our Almighty God. And so we need a sincere and committed heart. Secondly, it says that we need to have a full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. And so we should eliminate doubt, eliminate fear, eliminate hesitancy, eliminate worries, and truly put all of our faith in what God has called us to do. In John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39 says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, this is part of having vision, streams of living water will flow from within them. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and this is part of your vision, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. This is part of your vision. All things are possible with God. Amen. God has promised, and God promised that he will complete in us that which he has called us to do and who he has called us to become. Amen. Thirdly, we need to cleanse our hearts of sin, the greatest stumbling block to godly vision. Have our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12 says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. All of our attention should be turned to the Master. Sin or disobedience is the greatest stumbling block to vision, because sin is an indicator of where our hearts are. Instead of aligning our hearts to God, sin puts our hearts out of alignment, and God's will for us is frustrated. So as much as we're seeking the vision of God for our lives and to fulfill his plans and purposes, at the same time, we can be responsible for frustrating that by continuing allowing sin to hinder us from fulfilling the vision that God is wanting to reveal to us. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And just very simply, the more you love Jesus, the less you'll want to sin or choose to sin. The less you love Jesus, the more you will give in to temptation and allow yourselves to sin. And I want you to think about this. If you have a sin-o-meter, okay, that you could actually gauge the amount of sin that you are allowing in your life, and you were to personally be honest with yourself and take that gauge, and you were to say, from 0 to 10, where's my sin level at? And you were able to, and you set that gauge. That gauge would directly correspond to your love level, the love that you have for God. So if your sin is high, then your love for God is very low. If you turn up for your love for God, then correspondingly, the amount of sin will go down as well. They're directly related. Love and sin are directly related. The more you love God, the less you sin. The less you love God, the more you sin. It's a very easy balance or equation to figure out. So the more we love God, the less we sin, the more we'll complete God's divine revelation and intended purposes for our life and our ministry and our family and our personal walk with Him. The more we love Him, the clearer it gets. The more we sin, the less vision we have, the less control over God's intended purposes we have, and the more we fail to accomplish what God is calling us to accomplish, and the less we love Him. So finally, fourthly, be cleansed with the Word. Allow our bodies, our spirits, our souls to be washed with the power and the cleansing power of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says, we are cleansed through the washing of the Word. And of Titus chapter 3, verse 5, that He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to encourage you to be cleansed with the Word. And so this is how we realign our hearts, put ourselves in a place where we can receive a divine revelation of God's intended purpose for our lives. Have a sincere heart, have full assurance of faith, cleanse our hearts of sin, and be cleansed with the washing of the Word of God. God's Word clearly reveals to us God's intended purposes for our lives. Amen. I'd like to encourage you this morning that God loves you, that God cares about you, that He is never done with you, He has not forgotten about you, that as we saw in the Word today, that God has a hope and a future, plans to prosper you, plans for you to be successful, plans to use you for the glory of His kingdom. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Don't beat yourself down. Open up your hearts and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, lead me, direct me, align your, just work at aligning your hearts to God. And as you align yourself to God, your vision will become clearer and clearer as to what He is intending for you to do. Amen. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You for everybody here today. And I thank You for speaking to us. Give us ears to hear what You're saying. Give us hearts open to receiving what You're wanting to give us. Give us a clearer vision of Your intended purpose for our lives. I thank You, Lord God, for the personal plans, the personal vision that You have for each and every one here, for the things that You've created in advance for them to do. And I thank You, Lord God, if anything, that You are giving us faith to believe that with God and through Jesus, all things are possible. And I thank You, Lord, that we can dream and that we can envision, that we can believe in the impossible and that You will come through. Lord, for those that are lifting up families and saying, Lord, I have a vision for my family. Thank You, Lord, for that vision. Give them strength to believe that God is going to intervene in those people's lives. For those that have a vision of healing, Lord, thank You for the testimony of Gary who's healed, that You delivered. For those that are still yet believing, Lord, give them a vision of their healing, of Your intended purpose. And I thank You, Lord, that by Your stripes we are healed. For everyone here that is physically ailing today, through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, thank You that they are healed right now. Touch them, Lord. Deliver them, Lord. Lord, for those that are uncertain about their plans, their future, Lord, may they see the opportunity in every moment, in every day, to extend the grace and mercy of God to others. May they be open to allowing themselves to be used. And as they open themselves up and allow You to use them, I thank You that You will direct them on their course. We plan our future, but You direct our steps. Thank You for giving direction to each and every one that is here today. And I thank You, Lord, that over the next few weeks, that our vision will become clearer and clearer of how you see us, how you feel about us, but how you also want to partner with us and work in and through us to accomplish great things for you. Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen each and every one here to partner with you to bring glory to the Father through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Look forward to teaching again next Sunday and for a great potluck meal. I'll try and limit my teaching to 30 minutes or less so you can enjoy all the wonderful food that you're going to bring to share with me next Sunday morning. God bless you. We'll see you again next week.